Well, Jonathan's very kindly given us three readings today. So we're now going to have the first reading, which is from Isaiah chapter 61, commencing to read at verse 1. And it's on page 749 in the Bibles in the chapel. And it's entitled and headed, The Year of the Lord's Favour. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favour, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. Aliens will shepherd your flocks. Foreigners will work your fields and vineyards. And you will be called priests of the Lord. You will be named ministers of our God. You will feed on the wealth of nations, and in their riches you will boast. Instead of their shame, my people will receive a double portion, and instead of disgrace, they will rejoice in their inheritance, so that they will inherit the double portion in their land, and everlasting joy will be theirs. Our second reading this morning is from John chapter 15, and it's on page 1083, commencing to read at verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other. Our third reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 12, commencing at verse 22 and on page 1211. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spirits of righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel.
Well, thank you for your invitation to come again this morning, and it's just lovely to be with you. Charlie contacted me and said, do you want to lead the service, or do you want John to do it, or do you want me to find someone to do it? And I said, if John would like to do it, then I'd be more than happy. And I'm so glad that I said that, John, really thank you so much for leading us this morning. So much thought. All those handwritten notes that you got your pages muddled up. Amazing amount of work and thought that went into that. So bless you. And it really blessed me, the worship this morning. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. So thank you so much, John. In Galatians chapter 5, we have a list of the gifts or the fruits of the Holy Spirit, the things that he works in us. And I want to think this morning just for a short time on the fruit of joy. I don't know if you picked that up through the readings in Isaiah and then in John and then in Hebrews. And the Holy Spirit works in us to produce joy. But I want to start by saying this morning that it's not wrong to feel sad. It's not wrong to wake up and feel a bit down. It's not wrong to have a bit of low mood. It's not a sin to feel sad. It's not necessarily a sign of spiritual malaise that you feel heavy. I don't know if it ever happens to you, but it happened to the psalmist. Do you ever wake up in the morning and have to speak to yourself? You ever wake up in the morning and have to sort of get yourself into gear? That's exactly what the psalmist did. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted? Why are you unhappy this morning?" Verses like that are in the Bible for a reason. For one or two of you here this morning, this might be the most important thing that you hear me say this morning. Although I'm talking about joy, one of the most important things that you need to hear this morning is it might even be on the brink of tears. You might sometimes think, I just don't know how much longer I can hang on. I can keep going. Well, do you know that's all right? John's chosen the songs that we sang this morning, and Jenny will know there are just thousands of songs you can sing these days. It's not just linked to one hymn book. We've got databases of songs on our computers. In the Bible, we've only got one database of songs, and that's the book of Psalms. And it's interesting to note that 40% of those psalms are laments. 40% of our psalms are laments. And before somebody says, well, surely that was an old covenant songbook, we need to remember that when Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus, which was full of born-again, spirit-filled Christians who were seated with Christ in the heavenly places, he said to them, this new covenant church, he said, speak to one another with psalms, the same hymn book. You know, 1 Samuel chapter 1 tells us that whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, she wept and she would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, used to try and say all the right things to her. He'd say, Hannah, why are you weeping? Why aren't you eating? Think of all the positives. Think of all the blessings, Hannah. Basically, come on, cheer up, sister. Get a Thanksgiving jar and write down all the things that you can be thankful for and pull one out and cheer yourself up. And Elkanah tried that, but she says, I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have been pouring out my soul to the Lord out of great anguish and grief. Grief and sadness is okay, and it's part of our experience. Jesus himself, the Bible says, he sat down at the well weary. We can spiritualize that, but actually at that moment he just felt shattered. The Bible says that Jesus looked up to heaven and he sighed. I love that verse. Our Savior sighed. Our Savior went, do you ever do that? Ever sigh? The invitation of Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, 28, where he says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and are heavy laden," it presupposes that there is a weariness around. Why has Psalm 23 been such a blessing down through the generations? Because on our journey to heaven, we walk through dark valleys where there is evil and there are shadows, and we need God to accompany us with his rod and his staff. May the Lord keep us from a theology that takes a few isolated verses and finds a few stories to illustrate it and makes that the main theology. Beware of any theology that takes the book of Job out of the Bible. Beware of any theology that silences the barren years of Sarah. We can say, wow, God performed this wonderful miracle for Sarah. But she was praying for that pregnancy for years and years and years. Beware of a theology that takes Joseph and makes him prime minister immediately and forgets the 7 years where he was in prison. Beware of a theology that forgets the first half of the verse. We think it's lovely, joy cometh in the morning. But the Bible says weeping may endure for the night. So some of you here this morning might be feeling quite vulnerable, on the brink of tears, carrying broken hearts, and yet the subject this morning is joy. How does the Holy Spirit give us joy? Well, here's the good news, is that the Holy Spirit brings us this incredible joy in the midst of all that I'm talking about this morning, in the midst of our brokenness and our suffering. Where does the Bible say joy comes from? Where does the Bible locate our joy? Is it in those rare moments when life is great, when the sky is blue, when there are no worries, it's not raining, there's no problems? Where does the Holy Spirit place our joy? Does the Holy Spirit trace our joy to the moment where Sarah is holding her baby Isaac? Well, in one sense, yes, the name Isaac literally means laughter. And Sarah had this wonderful moment in life where prayers were answered and she was holding this baby and she was full of laughter. But that's not primarily where the Bible locates our joy. I don't know, have you noticed? I know you have. Have you noticed it's almost impossible to arrange a trouble-free life? It's impossible, isn't it? We spend most of our times trying to do it, but you cannot arrange a trouble-free life. So the Holy Spirit never traces our external circumstances as the place of our joy. Wonderful though those moments are when we receive those God-answered prayers. We find the origin of our joy this morning in the passage that we read in John chapter 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. That's where the Holy Spirit locates our joy. The context is the picture of the vine, and that we are the branches and we are in Christ. And in the vine, it's not an allegory in this passage, it's actually a reality. We are in Christ this morning, and therefore the life of Christ, there's only one life that runs through, there's only one sap that runs through the vine. And we are in Christ this morning, and the life of Christ actually runs through us. We are in Christ. We are deeply connected with Jesus this morning, and as we are connected with him, his life runs through us. So notice what Jesus says here, "I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So the Holy Spirit locates our joy this morning in our union with Jesus. And there is flowing through us this morning a joy that is the joy of Jesus. A wonderful thought that actually the same joy that is in Christ is in us this morning. It's there. The book of Hebrews tells us two things about the joy of Jesus. In Hebrews 1 it says, "You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." Jesus was anointed by his Father with the oil of gladness. I came across this quote on the internet this week. Oil is fatness and excess. Anointing is an action of being rubbed with oil or to be saturated with God for a specific calling or need. Therefore, the oil of gladness is literally to be greased with excessive gladness, or greased with excessive joy. But it's the second reference to joy that I so love in the book of Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 12 and verse 2, "Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and sat down at the right hand of God." Jesus is today seated at the right hand of his Father in heaven, and he is full of joy, absolutely full of joy. And the joy of Jesus this morning is the joy of a finished job. It says after he'd suffered, he sat down. You all know, don't you, the joy of a finished job. Have you ever painted your room? You have to move everything out, you have to strip everything off and rub everything down and move all the furniture and then cover it over, and then it goes on. But then eventually you put that last piece of wallpaper up and it's all shiny and new, and then you bring the furniture back in and you sit down and you look around. It's a wonderful joy, the joy of a finished job, isn't it? Might be a little bit of your garden, an allotment, and you've dug it, you've weeded it, and you've planted it, and you sit and you think, it's done. That's the joy of Jesus this morning. The joy of Jesus this morning is that of a finished job. The joy of Jesus is the joy that you get when you get to a point in life where you know whatever happens now, it can't go wrong. Have you ever experienced that? I'm a Portsmouth supporter, football, and we had that moment last year at Fratton Park. We needed one point to go up from the League One into the Championship. We needed one point. And on a Tuesday night, we were playing Barnsley. I remember it ever so clearly. And Barnsley scored, and there was just this quietness that went over the Fratton Park. And then we equalised. We got our one point and the place erupted. And then Barnsley scored again. They went 2-1 up and the flatness came over Fratton Park. And then we equalised with about 10 minutes to go and the place erupted. But in injury time, we had a corner and the corner came over, and our centre half headed in the third goal. We were now 3-2 up. And at that moment, you knew this cannot go wrong now. Even if in the dying seconds Barnsley were to get another, we've still got our point. And at that moment, the roof just took off. It was the joy of a finished, certain job that couldn't any longer go wrong. And that's the joy of Jesus this morning. Jesus has got the incredible joy seated in heaven, knowing this thing can never ever go wrong. It's eternally. It says here, you see, it's this side of the cross. After the cross, Jesus sat down. And it's this side of the resurrection. So it's eternal. So Jesus is seated today and it can never go wrong, and he is eternally happy. And that's why I think the Bible describes it as Wow, joy unspeakable and full of glory. And do you know that joy is in you and me this morning? It might have got a bit lost, it might have got a bit buried, but that same joy of Jesus is in you and I. There's another verse in Hebrews. It says in Hebrews 6:19, "For we have this anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary." Just think of that picture today. We tend to, this says it goes into heaven, but we tend to think of anchors going down to the sea. You've got a boat and it's stormy and the waves are rocking it. But if you follow the chain down into the anchor in the bed, down at the bottom there, it's full of peace, it's full of tranquility, it's untouched by the storm above. And we have this morning, we have like a chain to Jesus. We have a chain of joy which can never go wrong. And although today your life might be pretty hectic and all sorts of worries and concerns and illnesses and all sorts of things going on, turbulence, do you know there is linked to us this morning, there is this chain of joy that is anchored to our Saviour in Jesus Christ. Can you see how blessed we are this morning? Everybody in this world, everybody, the richest person, everybody in this world has trouble. Nobody is immune to trouble. Whatever faith they are in, whatever resources they have, nobody is immune to trouble. But we are so privileged this morning that we have this relationship with Jesus, which is the source of our joy. Well, if that's all I was going to say this morning, that's enough. That is glorious. That's enough to go out with. But that's not the only thing the Bible says. The Bible also says something else in Hebrews. It says in chapter 12, when we read it, "But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God and the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn." We are so blessed this morning because we're not just anchored to Christ, but we have church. Whatever you might feel some Sundays, whatever apparent contradictions there might sometimes be, you might feel this is a bit dull, a bit irrelevant. There is another reality this morning, that even as we come together this morning, we come with an invisible company of thousands upon thousands of people, of angels in joyful assembly. That's a reality. The church is far more than just what we see on a Sunday. We are locked into time and space with our bruises and carrying our broken hearts, but we are part of church and our wedding is approaching and our bridegroom is waiting. Church is a wonderful thing. The older I get, the more I'm committed to it, love it and appreciate it. I think when you first come to church, you come as a servant, as we should always do, and we serve wherever there's a need. But the longer you go on in church, you begin to find your sweet spot. This is what I was made for. This is what I was created for. And as we each find our sweet spots with servant hearts, Ephesians says we sing psalms and spiritual songs to each other. We make music from our hearts to the Lord. Church is a glorious and a wonderful place. And so I want to just commend this joy to you this morning. Nehemiah says, "For the joy of the Lord is our strength." It's tough days that we live in, isn't it? And we need this continual joy of Jesus. So let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you so much this morning for the joy that is ours in Christ. Sometimes we're very conscious of it. Sometimes it gets buried and we lose it. But we thank you for bringing us back to your word this morning. And we thank you for these precious promises of your joy. And I pray that your joy will sustain even those with broken hearts this morning. I pray that we'll have a song to sing to the world. And so we ask your blessing on us today. In Jesus' name, amen.